Hello, everybody, and welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne Zupko, and I'm so happy that you all are here so we can share together in this time. We'll start as we usually do and just take a few moments to turn within. Closing our eyes, turning away from what we think is the world out there. And turning in to find a world that is more real than anything that the body's eyes can perceive. Holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. And whatever it is that we need, a thought, a word, or a still, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. So we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. Taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of this time and place. So the section that we'll be reading tonight is called The Holy Encounter, and it's on page 177 in the Sparkle Edition. In the original edition, it is Chapter 8, Part 4, also called The Holy Encounter, page 149 if you have the hard copy of the book, and in the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition, it's page 141, Chapter 8, Part 3. And the section is about how, at least the latter part of the section, is how any genuine, true encounter that we have with our brother is for the mutual benefit of both of us. We can't go home alone, that we find our true self through one another. So that's what we'll be reading about tonight. So I'll take the first paragraph and then pause there. The Holy Encounter. Glory be to God in the highest, and to you, because he has so willed it. Ask and it shall be given you, because it has already been given. Ask for light and learn that you are light. If you want understanding and enlightenment, you will learn it, because your will to learn is your decision to listen to the teacher who knows of light and can therefore teach it to you. There is no limit on your learning because there is no limit on your minds. There is no limit on his will to teach because he was created to teach. Knowing his function perfectly, he wills to fulfill it perfectly because that is his joy and yours. So I think that this is a pretty neat sentence where it says, ask for light and learn that you are light. If you want understanding and enlightenment, you will learn it. So we're learning enlightenment. We're learning how to really understand. And that sentence just really struck me. It's really cool that we can learn enlightenment.
I like the way it says, if you want understanding and enlightenment.
Right, we have to want it. We have to want it. That's so key. That is so key. The course, it says that we never wanted peace before. That, you know, early on, it actually says angels were sent, I think it says angels were sent down to help us, but we weren't interested in peace. We just wanted further separation and that they were called back. And so times have changed because now we want that understanding. We want that peace. We're looking for it now. And so we've been given a path, a way. in this one particular, you know, form of being the Course, obviously there's different forms for different people, but we have to want it. That is key. I also like, too, how it says there's no limit on his will to teach because he was created to teach. So there's no limit on the Holy Spirit's that's the Holy Spirit's function, is to teach. And so how awesome that, you know, that's our guide and you know, our link to truth. And so there's no limit, obviously, to what we can learn, to what we can remember.
Through him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Any other insights or comments about this first paragraph?
The learning doesn't always seem so obvious.
Mm-mm.
It's really so subtle.
Right. It is. Do you have any specific examples in mind?
Think of anything right offhand.
Yeah, that's okay.
I just know sometimes, you know, I ask and I ask and I ask, and I always seem to get the piece I ask for, but it's just subtly happens.
Yeah, it's usually very subtle for me, too. Sometimes I just have this sense that something shifted, and I'm not even sure what, but that just something is different, and then it's like, oh, what was I upset about, or what was I concerned about? I don't remember anymore.
That's what I'm talking about right there. Wait a minute. What was I just carrying on about?
Right.
So it's sort of just... But then I'll go back to it, you know, I'll take it back, whatever it is. But then as soon as I ask again, wait a minute, I'm choosing this. I don't want this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to choose this. Help me.
Right.
You know, and then it seems to, you know, the shift seems to occur and off I go.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly find sometimes throughout the day, it just depends, you know, that I literally have to keep asking to maintain, you know, the peace.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's perfect because, again, if you think of like an onion and we're peeling away, you know, those layers, everything that comes up throughout the day, and it might be multiple things that are there, you know, as possible, or, you know, they are experiences, challenges. It's just, opportunity over and over and over to be willing to see it differently, to be willing to hand it to the Holy Spirit. So we're slowly peeling away those layers of the onion.
I think it's very good to get to a point where you realize, you know, you're having a thought that's causing a distress,
mm-hmm.
and you feel that distress. And the Course says, you know, I must have decided wrongly because I'm not at peace. So obviously I'm choosing to think this,
right.
and I don't have to think this, but the Holy Spirit is really the one who helps us
definitely
to get off it.
And that goes back to what we were talking about last week. And Paula, you brought up this example about being honest with the Holy Spirit, 100% honest about, you know, even those fleeting little judgment thoughts or whatever, that tiny little fears that may, you know, come up, and just as quickly we can brush them aside. But rather than doing that, bringing those things to the Holy Spirit too.
Yeah.
Okay.
And remembering that can be challenging at times. I found after that conversation, after saying that, I had a lot of challenges this week with, you know, that wanting to just drift and not be honest.
Right. And that's okay. You know, that again, it's a matter of being exactly where we're at and just accepting that's, you know, how it feels right now, and you know, acknowledging too that again goes back to that piece that I, you know, have brought up before about acknowledging that there's part of our mind that doesn't want to heal, that wants, you know, to keep these wheels spinning. And for me, that's just been key to also get honest about for myself.
Right. You know, a lot of times when you come across, to me, that was, you know, I had an awareness all of a sudden of, ooh, you know, it's really helpful to be honest with the Holy Spirit. But when you have that kind of awareness, the ego has a lot of resistance to that. And I
mm-hmm.
saw a lot of resistance come up after that.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, you can't go back.
Right.
You know,
right.
you don't go backwards. So
right.
I've been moving forward with that. And
awesome.
Yeah.
And we learn that, you know, that the ego really has no power over us. That's why when, you know, I used to be afraid of ego backlashes, like, you know, because I could kind of almost predict that, like, when I felt like I was really, you know, opening up and, you know, let's say by my own judgment, you know, quote unquote, making progress and would find just like, you know, these fears come up or something come up that just felt like an ego backlash. You know, the more and more we look to spirit instead of to the ego, the more and more the ego gets weakened. And it you know, even a little backlash, it's still nothing. It's still, again,
absolutely
you looked at with the Holy Spirit. And so for me, it became much less scary and just another opportunity to hand that over to the Holy Spirit then too.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is. Take the next paragraph. To fulfill the will of God perfectly is the only joy and peace that can be fully known because it is the only function that can be fully experienced. When this is accomplished, then, there is no other experience. Yet the wish for other experience will block its accomplishment because God's will cannot be forced upon you, being an experience of total willingness. The Holy Spirit knows how to teach this, but you do not. That is why you need him and why God gave him to you. Only his teaching will release your will to God's, uniting it with his power and glory and establishing them as yours. You share them as God shares them because this is the natural outcome of their being. So again, that sentence that's kind of in the middle of the paragraph, yet the wish for other experience will block its accomplishment because God's will cannot be forced upon you. The wish for other experience, for me, the way that I read that is, you know, that desire to still remain separate, that desire to still seek for specialness or still have specialness. It's, you know, again, that ego wanting the ego experience and then that just being something that we, you know, become willing to look at with the Holy Spirit too.
So isn't that interesting how this paragraph went right into that?
Mm-hmm.
Because really when you are consciously watching your thoughts and consciously making the decision to turn these negative, fearful thoughts over to the Holy Spirit, you are literally fulfilling the will of God perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because his will for us is happiness.
And joy and peace.
And joy and peace. And when we're not feeling that way, it can be, you know, it can be very challenging.
It sure can. It's a drag. It's a total drag.
I also feel like this paragraph is reminding us to be more in the moment and the action rather than in our heads, like giving all the mind garbage away and just being more present in the experience and the doing rather than sitting in our mind all day.
That's perfect because that's, you know, the Holy Spirit is only in the present moment. The Holy Spirit's not, you know, they're not later, not before,
right.
Only right now. So you're absolutely right. It is totally about being in this experience right now, this moment.
Well, I can tell you the what I was experiencing this week was literally the fear of the future. And honestly, this is just so, and that idea kept occurring to me. Just be here now. Just enjoy your day now. But the ego wants to go berserk with that. It's like, no, I want to know what's in store for me. I've got to control it.
Uh-huh.
Totally right.
What a drag.
Drag.
It sure is. It was funny. I was actually just talking to somebody about this today who was having some fears come up about something that she was experiencing, and we were talking about time traveling, and I was like, you're just time traveling right now. And she was like, what? I was like, yeah, you're just, you know, like you're 10 steps ahead, you know, jumping into the future. And for me, that's just always been a nice way of thinking about it, because it kind of puts some humor back in it and then brings me back to like the, oh yeah, there, you know, it helps me to come back to the present when I think about, you know, getting obsessed with the future is only time traveling. And we know that, well,
that is a great way to look at it.
Next paragraph. The will of the Father and of the Son are one together by their extension. Their extension is the result of their oneness, holding their unity together by extending their joint will. This is perfect creation by the perfectly created in union with the perfect creator. The Father must give fatherhood to his Son because his own fatherhood must be extended outward. You, who belong in God, have the holy function of extending his fatherhood by placing no limits upon it. Let the Holy Spirit teach you how to do this, for you will know what it means of God himself. So for me, what comes up for me in this paragraph is again about this idea of you know how God extends, and that's how God created us through God's extensions, and we've kept that extension of love going, and we have creations too. And when we arrest that extension, that's simply when we are listening to the ego. Although nothing, you know, has again changed by our listening to the ego, the Course says somewhere that, you know, something about, you know, God's just aware that his communication channels aren't fully open to him. And yet, it all, you know, the Course at the same time, it's maybe one of those paradoxes, also says that, you know, nothing has been changed as a result of our just, you know, sort of still breathing life into this dream that's seemingly, or that is already over. But So the extension piece just comes up for me. And again, thinking that like when I have fears arise, or when I'm looking to the ego, or, you know, anything in this world for safety, or making my, you know, wanting to make sure that my body is okay, that's actually blocking the love of God. That's, you know, me putting myself back in the driver's seat, thinking that I'm the one that needs to be in control to control it all. And that's when I'm blocking that extension of love through me. So it's when, again, we rely on the Holy Spirit, how it says in the last sentence, let the Holy Spirit teach you how to do this, for you will know what it means of God himself. It's turning to that Holy Spirit that is, again, allowing us to open, to learn to open those communication channels again.
Corinne, what would be another word for extension?
I have more of a picture in my mind. If anybody has another word, please, please chime in. I picture it just like,
is it in the doing,
like,
the giving?
I picture it as like just, an
being?
Extending outward, like as if like I was like, you know, shooting like a string outward, you know, like, or like extending love outward. Just, I have more of a picture in my head than
That's
another
helpful.
Word. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I almost, you know, if we put it in, I was actually thinking about this before, if we put it in, now this is talking on the, using a form example to talk about formlessness, but, you know, if you think of like the Big Bang and how, you know, that bang happened and then everything just kept, you know, spreading outwards, you can almost think
right,
in terms
right.
of, it helps us kind of maybe, you know, visualize a formlessness sort of same kind of like extension outward and expanding and expansion. I think that's another word, expansion.
It almost seems to me like if you read it this way, the will of the Father and the Son are one together by their love.
Mm-hmm.
Their love is the result of their oneness. holding their unity together by loving their joint will. It seems like this whole thing is about love, and you can use that word love to replace any word that's confusing in here, and it seems to clarify it simply. I mean, does that make...
It makes perfect sense.
That really did bring it in, yeah.
Yep, absolute.
I've been doing that a lot with this lately because otherwise sometimes I'm like, what is this talking about? And if I use that word love, it seems to clarify.
That's amazing. And even I wrote that down on my page in the book, and so the sentence that I wrote it to, wrote it right next to, the father must give fatherhood to his son because his own fatherhood must be loved outward. And the idea of loving outward, again, makes me think we have to see that love in our brothers to know ourselves. And that's what we're going to get into. That's exactly what this section is going to say, that we have to, you know, as we see our brother, we see ourselves. So as we see the Holy Spirit in our brother, as we see the love in our brother, we come to know it in ourselves. I love that, Paula.
Love it.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Circles and stars.
Why does it? It's not only the Course in Miracles. There are other modalities that I've been kind of applying this to. Why does it always? Do we learn better if it's a little bit more thought provoking? You know, is it presented to us using these words that
that's what I've always thought, because if the course, I mean, what is this course saying but that you are only love? Right? Like, you know, I mean, we can say that a million different ways, but like if it was a one page thing that said only that, we'd be like, okay, great. You know, and like and move on. So that's always been my feeling, is that, you know, we have made this very complicated, and therefore there's something that appeals to us and is more of an attention grabber by, you know, needing to take a bit more time to digest this, to understand it.
I saw kind of, this is Deidre.
Hey,
I hope that I don't cut out. Skype doesn't always agree with me, so I'll try to speak fast, but
okay.
Go
for it. Oh, no.
There was a... Oh, no.
Okay, all right, I hear you again.
Fine.
I read on Facebook this morning, there was a news story of a police lady in Arkansas who was arresting a mom for stealing food. Her children were hungry, and she was like last-ditch effort, right? And the policewoman decided to make another choice, and she decided instead of arresting this woman that she would pay for her groceries.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and what happened was this extension that this lady did prompted other people to donate money to this family.
Oh my goodness.
And then another, a business heard about her story and hired her. So she has a...
Oh, my gosh. God, I got goosebumps.
Wow.
This is so, like, that's extension right there.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That is absolutely beautiful. That is so cool.
Oh,
I hadn't heard about that.
There's one other part to the story. The policeman, the police lady... She said to the woman, now I want you to promise me that when you get back on your feet, that you will basically extend yourself to someone else in some shape.
Wow.
So it comes full circle, right?
Uh-huh. That's amazing. That is amazing. It makes me just, like, I have, like, the biggest smile inside, and just makes me feel like, you know, there's so many people out there choosing again. There's so many people out there. You know, we're not going to hear about most of them, but it's happening. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for sharing that, Deidre.
You're welcome.
Wow.
And thank you so much, Paula, for the substituting love. That is so awesome. That That's
You're
so
welcome.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, let's take the next paragraph. When you meet anyone, remember it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself. Never forget this, for in him, you will find yourself or lose sight of yourself. Whenever two sons of God meet, they are given another chance at salvation. Do not leave anyone without giving salvation to him and receiving it yourself. For I am always there with you in remembrance of you. And that gives me goosebumps just thinking about the story that you just shared. A holy encounter. How changed, how, you know, that policewoman with making that, you know, with choosing again and with choosing, you know, to do what she did with paying for that woman's groceries and just seeing again then the ripple effect of what happened, how amazing must she feel too, you know, that that was for, that was an act for both of them.
And that was pretty courageous on her part.
Absolutely.
Because of where she's coming from, you know.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Being a police person.
Yeah.
I just also wonder if we really started just this, like how different, because I grew up in an environment and gossip, and really just wrap on this concept of
Megan, can it
such a
Megan, or is it just me? I'm having trouble.
No.
In trouble here too. I'm sorry.
Yeah, unfortunately. No, okay, I'm sorry, you're cutting in and out. You know,
funny, I'm on like a
landline?
Yeah, I'm on You treat people as a reflection of yourself is like everybody really got that, you know, how each other.
Yeah, yeah. If everybody really got that, how? I've been there, but I was getting from what everybody, how incredible that would be, and that's I hold hope. I think that's where we're going.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope so too. Next paragraph. The goal of the curriculum, regardless of the teacher you choose, is know thyself. There is nothing else to learn. Everyone is looking for himself and for the power and glory he thinks he has lost. Whenever you are with anyone, you have another opportunity to find them. Your power and glory are in him because they are yours. The ego tries to find them in yourself, but it does not know where to look. The Holy Spirit teaches you that if you look only at yourself, you cannot find yourself because that is not what you are. Thoughts? Anything stand out from this paragraph? Is everybody still here?
I'm here. I'm just
okay,
kind of rereading
good.
That a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm
yeah.
just making sure. I don't know what's going on with our I wonder if it's the conferencing line tonight. I don't know.
Well,
if it's what?
If it's like the line that we're calling into, but I've been able to hear.
I wonder if, supposing we all hung up and started over again, do you think that would help?
We could definitely try that. Let's go a little longer, and if it happens again, we
all right. Okay,
can
good.
Try that. So with this paragraph, the goal of the curriculum is to know thyself, and so it says that, and that's regardless of the teacher that we choose. So the ego is going to teach us to know ourselves as separate selves. The Holy Spirit is going to teach us to know ourselves as one, as all connected. And so that's where that last sentence speaks for me that the Holy Spirit teaches that if we're looking only at ourselves, we cannot find ourselves because that's not what we are. We are not separate.
You know, I love this one line here where it says, whenever you are with anyone, you have another opportunity to find them. It could anything be more forgiving than that? I just think that that's incredible because
it is.
There's a new woman at work, and I know she did something the other day that kind of ticked me off. And, you know, I just thought, oh, I'm just going to stay away from her. But you can let that go. That's what that's it. Just let that go.
Mm-hmm.
Because whenever you are with anyone, you have another opportunity to find them.
Mm-hmm.
So just do that.
Right, right.
And don't carry any of it with you. Let it all go.
No cause for guilt.
Yeah.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Whenever I hear that phrase, not guilty, I always hear it in your voice, Paula.
I know.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
I also think, too, that sentence strikes me. Everyone is looking for himself and for the power and glory he thinks he has lost. So, again, the ego teaches us to look all outside of ourselves to find ourselves in things, in money, in safety, in insurance, in a retirement account, you know, all of that stuff. Our salvation lies everywhere out there. That's the, you know, the teachings of the ego. And, you know, we think that we've lost that power and glory, and yet, again, we're learning to remember that we've never lost it. It's still with us. We just have to look to the Holy Spirit in order to see it.
Wow.
It's like that story of, I don't remember if it's Native Americans or what, you know, type of indigenous tribe, but they had no framework for seeing boats, so they didn't see these big ships on the horizon or, you know, in the ocean for however long it was before they were finally able to see them. You know, we're developing that same sort of framework for being able to again see that that power and glory is already in us. That's what the Spirit is teaching us.
Oh, wow. Can you talk a little more about that? That's wonderful. I mean, just
about well, again, it's just, you know, that's we are not actually, you know, well, we are learning, but it's more of we're remembering, because everything that we're learning is just, it's like we're reclaiming what we threw away, what we, you know, denied that we had. And so it's, we're learning to remember. And so it's like we're learning again to see with a different type of vision that we at one point threw away. And so that's again through the vision of the Holy Spirit to help us return to the home that we never left. I don't know if that...
That makes total sense to me. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
I love the line that says, he will respond either with pain or with joy, depending on which teacher you are following. That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
And it really helps for me to remember... To let it go, as Paula is saying, because we don't know what our brothers are experiencing.
Right, right.
Or have experienced, you know.
Right, yeah, that's absolutely true. Let's actually, I think that's in the next paragraph. Let's read that, because that's...
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm glad that you brought that up. Let's read this next paragraph. Whenever you are with a brother, you are learning what you are because you are teaching what you are. He will respond either with pain or with joy, depending on which teacher you are following. He will be imprisoned or released according to your decision, and so will you. Never forget your responsibility to him, because it is your responsibility to yourself. Give him his place in the kingdom, and you will have yours. The kingdom cannot be found alone, and you who are the kingdom cannot find yourselves alone. So that's super powerful. Deidre, the line that you brought up, he will respond either with pain or with joy, depending on which teacher you are following. So again, it all comes back to us, which can piss off our egos to no end, because we want it to be that other person. You know, it's that person that's behaving this way. It's that person who, you know, if only they would be different, then everything would be okay, or then I would be happy. And this is bringing it back again to our responsibility. It makes me think again about, you know, talking in recent weeks about the Ho'oponopono prayer and practice. It's about taking 100% responsibility for everything that's in your experience, because you're the only common denominator in that experience. And so here it's the same sort of thing, where it's saying this all depends whether we're following, you know, which teacher we're following. We're either following the ego, which is going to lead towards painful ego experiences, or we are following, you know, we're listening to and following the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings us down that path of healing, that quiet path of healing, which at the same time, the external circumstances might still seem full of conflict and, you know, pain. And that's where our trust comes in, and how the Course says over and over, do not believe the picture, that we even then take that picture of that conflict or that difficulty and bring that to the Holy Spirit, to being willing to see what's, you know, what's behind it. So it comes back again to accepting the atonement for ourselves. That's our only function, is to allow the undoing of fear in our own minds. Did I hear a breath? Was somebody going to say something?
The book that you were referring to,
uh-huh,
with the Ho'oponopono prayer,
uh-huh,
it's saying in there that their reaction to you is literally brought on by you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what this is saying, right?
Yeah. It depends, you know, again, which teacher we're going to be following. Now, you know, with Ho'oponopono, the piece that resonates with me is that, you know, so let's say, you know, there's somebody who's really being reactive and very difficult, who's, you know, right there in front of you. The question that you ask yourself is, what is it in me that this is manifesting in this person? So again, it's bringing it back to your own mind, and that's where then you turn back to Spirit. And either, you know, however we want to say it, giving it to the Holy Spirit, saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, whatever it is, you know, whatever tool, whatever words they are that you use. It's, again, taking responsibility for, you know, everything that's coming up, even if it's coming up in other people. So this sentence to me.
And that makes, it just makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because we really don't know what's going on with them.
We have no idea.
We haven't got a clue.
Not a clue at all.
I was talking earlier about this woman at work.
Mm-hmm.
I was feeling kind of guilty because she's new to the office. And I have done nothing, you know, like she has lunch alone. I honestly, I was feeling guilty that I didn't maybe stay in and try to make her feel more at home, but, you know, I run home every day at lunchtime, and the one day that I do stay in for lunch, she was sitting there by herself, and I went over and sat down and had lunch with her, and one of the other people from the office came down, and she said to her, oh, look who's having lunch with us today, and I immediately took that, because I was feeling guilty. She probably, that the way she said that probably hadn't, the way I interpreted what she said, mm-hmm, was my own guilt reaction.
Mm.
Wow.
And I wanted to, and I immediately projected it back out on her as
wow.
being not friendly or God knows what I was thinking. It was just nonsense. But this, I think this paragraph really addresses that. Didn't seem obvious to me at the time.
Right.
Boy,
right.
reading this, it absolutely.
Wow. That's really powerful and really amazing that you can, that you're saying that you can see that, you know, that was, you know, the filter that you were using at the time, maybe, you know, that guilt that was there. But it goes back again to that quote that if you perceive the errors of your brother, you know, if you see the error of his ego, I forget the exact wording, if you're just looking at his errors, whatever it may be, how he said something, what he did, that you must be seeing through your own ego if you're seeing
yeah.
his errors at all. So, again, it brings it back to us, and it's like, damn it, I can't get away with anything.
But I love it. I love it really because it makes me feel when I am in her presence tomorrow, I can let all of that go now. I mean, I can really let
mm-hmm.
that go now
yeah.
because I know that was just a mistake on my part.
Right, right. Wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it really feels good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think there's a distinction, too, between taking responsibility for whatever is coming, reflecting back to you and blaming yourself for it.
Definitely.
There's a really big difference.
Absolutely, because what is blame but guilt, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. So
that's the ego getting right back in there and saying, well, you know, you're bad because, you know,
yeah.
whatever.
But it's just, it is really just a mistake. That's all.
Thank you for adding that, Deidre. That's really valuable.
Well, I feel too like a lot of the patterns that we create in relationships is because we don't have forgiveness for ourselves and each other.
mm-hmm.
So what you just said, Paula, that you can go tomorrow and completely let it go, like imagine if, you know, 25% of the planet could do that.
Oh my God.
You know, it's huge.
Yeah, it really is.
And I, you know, actually another thought that's been helping me too in that realm that like, I'm going to use the example that you just said, Deidre, like about, you know, 25% of the planet doing this. I have been really benefiting lately by focusing on that it's done already. Like, you know, it's already done. Like everybody is already doing this. It's just, and just trusting that is, you know, that's, I don't know if I'm making sense of that. It's just already done. It's already done.
Yeah, no, that's a better way to frame it, actually. You know, not better, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Like, yeah, I know what you mean. How about we take the next paragraph? Okay, so here we are. To achieve the goal of the curriculum, then, you cannot listen to the ego. Its purpose is to defeat its own goal. The ego does not know this because it does not know anything. But you can know this, and you will know it if you are willing to look at what the ego has made of you. This is your responsibility because once you have really done this, you will accept the atonement for yourself. What other choice could you make? Having made this choice, you will begin to learn and understand why you have believed that when you met someone else, you had thought that he was someone else. And every holy encounter in which you enter fully will teach you this is not so. That's beautiful. I love that those last two sentences. You begin to learn to understand why you have believed that when you met someone else, you had thought that he was someone else, and every holy encounter in which you enter fully will teach you this is not so. Let's add in the
next one. So that's there's only one of us here then.
Absolutely. There's
yeah,
one
that's
of God.
It.
We are it.
That's it.
We are it. You can encounter only part of yourself because you are part of God, who is everything. His power and glory are everywhere, and you cannot be excluded from them. The ego teaches that your strength is in you alone. The Holy Spirit teaches that all strength is in God and therefore in you. God wills no one suffer. He does not will anyone to suffer for a wrong decision, including you. That is why he has given you the means for undoing it. Through his power and glory, all your wrong decisions are undone completely, releasing you and your brothers from every imprisoning thought any part of the sonship has accepted. Wrong decisions have no power because they are not true. The imprisonment which they seem to produce is no more true than they are. And I'll pause there. This is just a very reassuring paragraph for me. I love the sentence, God wills no one suffer. So any pain, you know, even it's even, you know, when something tragic happens and, you know, that saying, oh, this is part of God's plan. Bullshit. God wills no one suffer. That pain is of the ego, and that is it. So that to me is just a really comforting thing. He does not will to suffer for a wrong decision. He does not will anyone to suffer for a wrong decision, including you. That is why he's given you the means for undoing it. And then this next, I'm like rereading this all over again, but through his power and glory, all your wrong decisions are undone completely, releasing you and your brothers from every imprisoning thought any part of the sonship has accepted. So again, as we heal, we're not healed alone. We're doing this for each other, for the whole sonship, for every living thing on this planet. And then to put this into, you know, the Ho'oponopono terms, that as we clean our minds, as we, you know, clean the programs that we've caught in our mind, these ego programs, and turn to spirit and say, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. The book talks about how as you clean them, once they're removed not just for you, but for everyone. I really like that, those sentences. It just makes me think of page 90. I must have decided wrongly. The Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him.
But you got to choose to let him.
But you got to choose to let him by allowing him to decide for God for us.
That's right.
That is right.
Wow. Oh, I needed this tonight.
Mm-hmm, me too. Me too. Let's go ahead and add in the final paragraph. Power and glory belong to God alone. So do you. God gives whatever belongs to him because he gives of himself, and everything belongs to him. Giving of yourself is the function he gave you. Fulfilling it perfectly will teach you what you have of him, and this will teach you what you are in him. You cannot be powerless to do this because this is your power. Glory is God's gift to you because that is what he is. See this glory everywhere to learn what you are. Oh. That's awesome. So see this glory everywhere to learn what you are. We're not using the body's eyes to see that. It's different. It's a new vision. It's a different set of eyes. The Holy Spirit's vision. And does anything stand out to anybody in particular? Any insights, examples? It sounds like maybe we're good.
Wait a minute. wait.
Not
so
fast. What you got?
Just something here. Wait a minute. He gives it himself. And everything belongs to him. Giving of yourself is the function he gave you. That's a little confusing.
I see that again. You know what? Substitute the word self for love. Giving of your love, because that's what we are.
Yeah, there you go.
It's the function he gave you.
Yeah.
Paula, you nailed it with that tip.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't that clarify?
Mm-hmm.
That really clarifies it.
It certainly does.
Extending of yourself is extending of the Holy Spirit, is how I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's perfect.
Boy, that's really a nice way of putting it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Extending of yourself is extending of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely, that's perfect.
What a better way of really knowing the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the Holy Spirit, I mean, I am so convinced of the Holy Spirit, but because it is an abstract concept, it's, you know, but that makes it more real to me, thinking of it that way.
And you know, we read several weeks ago, too, that we know ourselves by extending. God knows himself by extending. And so it's by extending that love that we know ourselves. So that's also...
Yeah.
And
it's all the same thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's also how we can tell. It's also how we can tell which voice we're listening to.
Yeah. Oh, is the ego going to extend anything loving? No. Not mine. Oh. Awesome.
The whole thing is awesome.
Thank you, everybody, for letting the Holy Spirit speak through you tonight. This has been wonderful.
It has been.
Thank you, Corinne.
Thank you, guys. Have a great week. We'll meet up again next week, same time.
Excellent. All right. Good night.
Okay. Thanks. Good night. Bye-bye.